Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Okay, you ready for the Word of God to be expounded upon? Well, get your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, your scrolls, whatever you're using. And because get ready, because I'm going to introduce to you Reverend Mike Duncan. Come on up, brother.
From the bottom of the sea.
S-O-N.
But first,
here it is.
Are you experienced?
We gotta know.
Have you ever been experienced?
Have you ever been experienced?
Well,
I have. All right, Randy, we better cut that off or we get run out of here. Come up here like a rock star. Praise the Lord. Look, there's freedom. There's freedom in that. Might have turned me down a little bit, Randy. We might have that verb going. Hey, Jimmy's still running there. We know blessed are we, what Jesus said, blessed are you, for you reap what another man has sown. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. So it's like the cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. That encourage us, who cheers us on. We don't even know who they are, or do we? It's all written. We got names. We got people who's gone before us, who's endeared, undergone, who have experienced the goodness of the Lord. What songs are we singing? The reason. There's a reason. In that song, it said there's a reason. Why do I want to give everything? Come on, Jeff, come on. Why would we want to give it all back to him? Why? I hear old bus drivers talking to Forrest Gump. You stupid or something? Stupid is a stupid dust, sir. I'll be stupid. I'm not going to be ignorant, though. Because the word says, don't be ignorant to the schemes of the enemy. All this stuff comes, but it comes through experiences. Because experience, let's go ahead. Y'all ready? What is experienced? That's right. Been there, done that. But it says you've been made skillful. You've been made skillful or wise through experiences. Listen, we want to say it's more than an experience when we come to Christ. But if you don't have an experience with Christ, why and how are you going to come to him? Because you got to have an experience. The word metanoia, of repentance, it means that you have a change of your mind because of an encounter. If you have no encounter, there's no experience, and there's nothing that you will be able to see or identify as the truth or as life or as the way. You have to experience him. Why do we congregate and come together? To experience him. This is true. But just like what was said, what Charlie said, it's because of the love through somebody else. It's because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. Is the only reason you want to come together. Because you want to experience more, yes, sir, of him. And we know that by experiences. It's like me and Brother Eric was talking, popping off this morning. He gets me fired up. All right? And the Jesus in me, Holy Spirit in me, fires him up, and that's what we do. Amen. The flame burns and burns brighter and more abundant when we come together. Yes, But if you don't have an experience, guess what? You're not going to open your hands. You're not going to. What is this? In that song, I tell you, this song, it was. I just love the Lord, how He works off. Like what I told Eric, I knew, but I didn't know that He was going to be teaching on the mature sons, the oikos, how we grow and we mature. It's what Jesus said over there in Matthew 5. He says, I want you to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That word is teleos. It means mature. I want you to grow up in who you are. Get off the bottle. Quit having to have somebody nurture you. We come here and we come together, oh, so we'd experience God. But the main thing is there, I want you to bring your experiences of God so you can share with the rest of us. So that we all feed and grow and glean from one another. And so in doing that, when we come in this community, come in unity, we're able to help one another with our shortcomings, our failures. Oh, we don't have any, do we? We're already perfect. But we help each other overcome the adversity and the things, the struggles of this world. But we know that it's through those adversities and through those struggles, through those experiences that mold us and grow us into the mature children of God that this creation is groaning for. It's been groaning. It's waiting. It's what the cloud of witnesses are doing. They want to come on. So shed off those things that what? The sin that entangles you. What is that sin? The temptations. Yourself. So in the song, it said, what is it? Is that my hands open? How's it go?
My heart is free.
If my hands, so a lot of us want to think, okay, so I'm going to receive, right? I got to open my hands or I can't receive anything.
That's right.
Okay, that's true. But see, what we're doing right there, we're acting unexperienced. If I think because I open my hands, I'm going to receive something, I'm unexperienced, and I have yet not understood the things that what God has for me. Because what that means, when I open up my hands, my heart is free. I let go of those things that I'm holding on to. So the big deal about opening up your hands isn't because I'm about to receive something. Well, praise God, that's the benefit of being able to release. So when I open my hands, I'm actually releasing those things that entangle me and hold me back. And I say, Lord God, I don't want those things. I want You. Because I've experienced You. I've tasted of You. Remember over there in, my goodness, I just love the Holy Ghost, man. I tell you, we can write all this stuff down, but when He gets charged and starts directing, just let Him flow, man. Let Him flow. Mimi asked me, I thought you was going to be in a three-piece suit today. My God. Well, I almost went on back outside. Well, let her down. No, it's not that. It's be who you are in the Spirit of God. I'm not saying be irreverent and try to go and be a rebel. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. Because I was going to just take this hot and take this shirt off and be in a t-shirt. And all, but no, come on. Keep it right. Be flexing up here. My belly. Be modest. Keep it covered. But no, but it's the thing is that we have to know, you know, our boundaries. We have to be wise, be experienced. Come on, grow up in your stuff. And knowing, look, and I told Pastor John this morning, it's okay. I know this. I have to be who I am in the Spirit of God. I've been to a places that had a religiosity about it, you know, and they didn't even look at me. You know what I mean? I'm like, my goodness, I'm on fire for God. Now, can't y'all see that? I gave up everything for the Lord. What do you give up? Well, you know, but that's arrogance and where you're going. But as they weren't around in their suits and their ties, it's like, my goodness, where's it at? So, you know, it was like a revival camp meeting. I'm like, man, what am I going to do? You know, I was living in another person's camper. didn't have a home at that time. And but I did have some clothes and things that was in the little closet there in that camper. And so on the last night, I said, you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to put on a suit. I'm going to look like them. And I got dudded up. I went in there, and my goodness, everybody was shaking hands then. You know, everybody was shaking hands. I was acknowledged by man. Whew. But when I started worshiping God and lifting my hands up, I was bound. And the Holy Spirit said, how you feel? I started crying. So I'm bound. And that's where I got the word. Be who you are in my spirit. So it's what that looks like is taking ownership of your uniqueness. Of who he's made you to be. Your parents. Your family, all these things. Listen, you can't push none of that aside. He doesn't want you to push any of that away. Because your experiences and the things that you've gone to through and what you're going to go through and to, all these things is coming, is going to mold you more and more into the teleos of God. Amen. Into the maturity. Because I need each and every one of you. He needs each and every one of us in our uniqueness, but in our community. The parts and the differences, your experiences. So what is an experience? It's a practical, this is what it says, I think it's Webster or somebody, it says it's a practical contact with an observation of facts or events. So it's somewhere you got to see it. It's something you got to come in contact with or observe. That's called an experience. But it says, of what? Of facts. What's the facts of the matter? What actually happened? So sometimes we go through things like, say, a car wreck. I was in one time in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was out there in the world. I had Luke and Samantha at the time. They were like 3, 4 maybe years old. I was up in Cincinnati doing whatever, you know, but a friend of mine, he had a nice, I think 2004 little canary yellow Mustang GT. That thing was hot. We'd been up all night really just partying and going on, and his dad was ate up with cancer and stuff at the hospital, so we was on the back to the University of Cincinnati to go see him. But on the way, there's like, almost like San Francisco Hills. Anybody ever seen San Francisco Hills, those big things? And there were some hills up there in Cincinnati where it was going through. I mean, they're just long, steep hills, like a roller coaster ride. And out of nowhere, as we were getting ready to top this hill, he looks at me. And man, I'm telling you, it was like a demon sitting there. He looks at me and never takes his eyes off of me. And he stomps the gas. Still not even looking at the road. And I'm looking at him. And then when I see him stomp the gas, I look up. Whoo, we go airborne. And it's rainy. It's wet. As soon as we hit, it's like, and there's a telephone pole. I said, oh, God. He snatches the wheel back to the left. Man, it's nothing but thick woods. Thick, dense woods going through this thing. All I see is coming at me was trees. Poof, poof, poof. And the last thing I seen was a tree limb. And it come exactly right through the windshield right at me. And it was so crazy. All I could do then, I just threw my arms up like this. All of a sudden, I hear him saying, Magali, you all right? You alive? What's wrong? You okay? And I'm just sitting there. And he kept, are you all right? It's like he just come back too. You know what I mean? Something took over him right then. And all I could say is, give me a minute. I'm trying to figure it out if I'm alive or dead. That tree limb came exactly in, and it didn't hit me, but it just took a left, and it went right out the pasture side window. And the back of the car, man, this thing was totaled. I couldn't even get out of the car. I was slammed up. And as soon as I had my phone ring, and it was Luke, my little boy's teacher, telling me that a little boy just pushed him down at that very moment. He just got skin all up from somebody pushing him down at school. And I said, okay, I have to call you back. I'll call you right back. And I had to tell her I was just in a crazy accident. But right then, I knew. I wasn't following the Lord at that time. But I knew in my spirit that there was an attack on me and my lineage. Right then and there was a time that the enemy was trying to take me out because of what was before me. So that was an experience, wasn't it? A crazy experience. And now I can look back on those experiences and say, this is what it was. That is exactly what happened. But you know what we're going to do now? We're going to praise the Lord because we know that He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. But other part of that song is what you have to move. Those experiences says what? That it's a practical contact or then the observation of facts or events. Or the verb, it says in an encounter or to undergo an event or an occurrence. It's also a knowledge, it's a skill or a practice derived from direct observation of your participation in events or in a particular activity. What have you observed in your life? What kind of experiences are you experienced, though? Because have you learned from them? There's a saying, oh, my goodness, honey, everything you go through is going to be a lesson or a blessing. Well, prophesy. It's the truth. With the right what? Perspective. With the right understanding. You start learning. But let me tell you this a little bit further. If you learn your lesson, it's all a blessing. If you learn your lesson, it's all a blessing. Romans 8:28, we like to quote that one, don't we? I think I even quoted it before I started this morning. I'm going to have to get me a Kleenex. You know how I get. You know how I do. That thing starts pouring, it just comes out everywhere. But in Romans 8:20, it was all things work together for good. For everybody. Sometimes it's not a good outcome for you. And that could be even if you do love God. But we have to have an understanding that it works to the good for those who love God, who's been called according to His purpose. Well, I'm telling you, let me tell you this part of it. You would not be here today if you weren't called. He called you forth when He put that soul in your mama's womb. He called you forth. For what purpose? Well, that's Him. What He's going to make of you. But a lot of those things is what you allow Him what to make of you. Those experiences, I'm telling you, the trials, experiences, things you go through, they might not feel good. You probably want to quit. I know I've been out there doing hay almost every year, every season, hay season, either the spring or the fall. I get out there, something tears up. And if the hay bale clogs up, that's the worst, man. Big round baler, even the square baler, but you got to get out, hot most of the time, 100 degrees. And when those machines are running, it's even hotter. And you got to reach in there and start digging out hay that's so tight and compacted up under there. And I mean, it gets itchy and the briars sometimes in there a little. That's, my goodness. And I was under there one time. I was in a hurry. It was on a Sunday after church. I still had to get some up. Storm was coming. All of a sudden, the hay bale got clogged. I got to get out. Start pulling this stuff, working on it. I said, my goodness, Holy Ghost. So you want to be a farmer, don't you? Do you? I said, no, I quit. I quit. It probably had some other words come through there. It'll work you out, won't it? Squeeze hard enough, you're going to have all kind of stuff come out of there. But praise God, let it get out. Let it get out of you. Because then you're going to understand, hey, that's not what I want anyway. So I've quit. I quit every season. But I don't walk off the job. It's all right to quit. Just don't leave. It's your prerogative, you know, you get that. It's part of the benefits of working. You can quit, but you just don't leave. You can throw your hands up. Hallelujah. Yada. Sometimes you just throw them up and you don't even know you're praising God. You don't even know you're fighting back. But it's okay because it's not about what you know. It's not about what you do. And that's why I was talking about Pastor Johnson. My goodness. You know, it's almost like, yeah, I called to go preach today. My goodness. All right. I actually had a little more time this week, too, to prepare. It's really just enough, lets more anxiety build up. I'd rather just drop the hat and go with it. You know what I mean? Off the hip kind of guy. I'd rather do that. Well, I know. It's okay, brother. But no, but it's the thing is, it builds up the anticipation and things, but then also the onslaught of battles. It starts pouring in to try to get you off your game, and then it's like, well, it's not my game anyway. It's his life that he's poured in me, and he's going to pour it out of me. All I got to do is go. Be available. Because it's not really about me, it's about him and what he's done to me. It's about the experiences that I have in my life. And it's about the things that I want to be truthful and honest about. It's about the facts. Remember my testimony, man, the pastor, oh, Mike, I can't let you talk about your testimony. I said, what are you talking about? It's not too theologically sound. What is theological, what does that mean? I didn't even know what that meant. But I know Theo now is the Greek word for God, right? Logical is study or something like that, the study of God, theological, theology. Okay, I've learned that through experiences and time now. It's probably taken me longer than most because I'm not the best pupil. But I said, hey, what happened to me? The experience I had with God on the day of my conversion, I've not added to or I've not taken away from it. It's what I had with God. And I'm not going to let you or anybody else shut me down. Because what I experienced right here, it was facts. I observed the glory of God, man. When the presence of God, the Holy Ghost, fell on me, I was done. My words weren't. I was running. And I've never been the same again. You know, I've never been the same because I've done that. I've experienced the goodness of God. And they are running after me. You know why? Because I'm still going. You can't run after something sitting still. If I'm sitting still, then the manifestation can't happen. I'm not going to have more experiences. What does that bring me to? That brings me to the transfiguration. Isn't that something? Do you understand when you look it up in Matthew and Luke and Mark, before they take their journey, Peter, James, and John, before Jesus called them up to say, let's go, y'all come with me. You know what he proclaimed? In every one of them, this verse is the context leading up to the transfiguration. It says there are some among you now that will what? Experience or observe the kingdom of God. Then some say, well, 8 days later. Some say 6 days later, they went. And they say they're standing up there. And they say the brilliance. He said, what was it, Mark? I think Mark says, not even Clorox could make it that white. I think that's what it said. It might say bleach, I don't know. But you know how it is in the South. It's a weed eater or whatever it is. It's a Coke. I don't care if it's water or Pepsi or whatever it is. As long as it's a soft drink, it ain't gonna be water. But we like to take the name of one particular item, and that's what we label all of it. So Clorox. But it was the brilliance, the dokia, the doxa, the glory of God, the brilliance of the kingdom. And it said they all fell on their face and worshiped him. Because they seen Moses and Elijah standing with them. But it said they fell on their face and started worshiping. Then it says that God walked over there. Jesus reached down and touched them. It says, rise up. And they said that when they looked up, it was only Jesus. It was only Jesus. It's only Jesus. Just going to get us to where we're supposed to be. It's only Jesus' baptism that's going to get you converted, that's going to get you born again, that's going to make you a new creation, that's going to make you who you are rightfully to be. He's brought it. He's brought it. And he's given it to us. But we need to experience him. We do need to experience the glory of God like they did. And what if Peter jumped up and said, well, we got to build some tabernacles. Let's build three up here for all of you. Let's do that, huh? Let's go. Let's go. See, it's not that we're going to build these. He said we should build a temple, a tabernacle. But Peter didn't understand. They didn't understand, did they? That he already had. He already built a temple. You. Them. And what's to come because of this experience. He said, don't tell anyone what you observed here until my resurrection. Why? Because then they wouldn't even have the power to carry it on. They wouldn't have the exact knowledge or the experience that it's going to take for you to persevere, to give you the faith to carry on. Oh, my goodness. What happened as soon as they got down the mountain? They run right into a demon. And the other disciples, they didn't go have the experience that they did. We're all trying to work in the kingdom. Nobody's received the Holy Ghost yet. They're doing it just out of their other experiences that they had, which is okay, you know what I mean? But that's what Eric was on this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to be mature. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. But sometimes we can outrun the experiences needed and move in things that we shouldn't. Remember the sons of Sceva? They out there doing this thing and they got beat up. Because they seen somebody else's experience. And they want to move on that. No, you're going to have your own here. I love you. I can share my testimony. I can share my experiences. But brothers and sisters, you're going to have your own. You got to have your own fire. Because that's what God got. And then your fire is going to come together with my fire. Then we can celebrate and glorify and burn this place up. But you're going to have your own. Well, they couldn't do anything with it, and the daddy come running over there. Oh, here you are finally. What's going on? Well, your disciples can't do it. I brought him this thing, throwing him down and trying to put him in the fire, throwing him in the water. My boy's been having his convulsions, all this stuff going on. I need you to, is it possible? He said, well, hell, everything's possible for the one that believes. What did the man say? Oh, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, there's still experiences that we got to go through that's going to help that unbelief. Help my unbelief. Okay, here we go. Get ready. Oh, you want to be a teacher? Okay. Lee James says, don't be quick to call yourself a teacher. Don't be so quick to go lay hands on somebody. You don't know what that reverb, that backlash might come. You don't even know what you're going up against. So come on, we need to be experienced. We need to be skilled. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, I had an experience. And I got thrown out there. What about Paul? What about Paul? What happened to Paul when Saul became Paul? What did he go start doing? Was he still just preaching the letter? What did he start doing immediately? The only thing he started doing immediately is what? He started proclaiming that Jesus Christ was Lord because of his experience that he had on the road to Damascus. That's what he proclaimed. And they wanted to kill him for it. It's not that I got to know every bit of this Bible and be able to quote you every scripture out of there and puff myself up. That's the confusion that we have. No, what really we need to have is experience with Jesus Christ, and you understand that's who he is, and you have that revelation only given by the Holy Ghost now, by the Father. Then that's what we're supposed to run on. That's what's going to fuel your tank up. That experience is what's going to carry you on. And it's just not that experience, because once you start moving, guess what you're going to have? You're going to encounter another experience. Then you're going to have another experience. And that's called the manifestation of the kingdom of God within you. And then it's going to be so overwhelming, just like so, be overwhelmed. What did Jeremiah say? Like fire shut up in my bones. Well, that brings me over there to Acts 2. Peter, don't get down on yourself. Jesus told him. Satan's asked to sift you like wheat. He's going to wear you out, boy. He's going to grind you up, and you're going to feel like you're a lost, undone, and not an account for nothing. Anybody ever felt that way before? That you're about useless? You might have even been told that you were. And that's the worst, isn't it? But you're not. Oh, you're valuable. You're worthy of what Jesus Christ has done because of what he's done. He made you the righteousness of God. You know, but Jesus didn't leave him there, did you? Did he? Oh, you're going to be sifted like wheat. I hate it for you. You're going to be broke down. Sorry about your luck. He didn't leave him there, did he? He said, but hey, when you are converted, you will strengthen the brethren. You will strengthen the body of me because of that experience. What happened? When it all come and the Holy Spirit was blew on them. Ho! They were empowered. Then what? The revelation and the understanding of those experiences, of the healings and the things that they've went through, all come to a head. And it's like, yes, yes, that's why I went through this. That's what, remember this? He says he's going to bring it all back to your remembrance. What's going on? What happened? The things you went through. Oh. And see, that's why I find so intriguing and so encouraging when I get into this word and I start reading about Peter's life, start reading about James' life, start reading about Paul's life, start reading about Jesus' life. And my goodness, I said, whoa, I kind of line up with that. Maybe it's just me. That's a yada right there moment. Or ta-da! Hey! That's what keeps me going. Those days when it's like, I quit. I quit, man. I give up. Well, hallelujah. About time. It really is. It's what it looks like. It's about time you give up. Man, I mean, what's that? I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. So much beauty in that. It's all right if you mess up, you know? Just don't try to hide it. It's okay if you don't know. I have a lot of people, well, I didn't know that. I said that to somebody else the other day. Somebody said something to me. I said, well, I didn't know that. I'm like, you dummy. Of course you didn't know that. Who you think you are? You know, that's me and my Holy Spirit stuff working. You know how he keeps me in check. It's okay if you don't know something. You know what your problem is? I'm not elaborating on somebody else's experiences. Well, we do. A lot of times we do think we know it all. Or we know too so much that it blocks us. And it keeps us from really understanding and knowing. Because we don't have the observation of the facts or the events that we've been in experiencing. We're deluded, you know, and it's watered down, and we're seeing the wrong things, and it's like, wow. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit to give us that true understanding and the revelation of what this is and what that is. It's okay if you don't know, but he said it's the Spirit of truth. He's going to start leading you into all truth. And eventually, one day, we will know it all. But I tell you, if you know Jesus, you're already there. I give it all away because he is everything. He is it. So what did Peter say over there? When he started going crazy, didn't he? When the Holy Ghost fell on them and they running around. They got locked up for knowing Jesus, for having these crazy experiences, these things going on. They actually believed it. They actually believe it. Silver and gold, have I not? That's good. Because it's not holding you down. But such as I do have, I give unto you. Pick up your mat and go. See, he made a disciple right there. He said, you go and I'll be with you to the ends of the earth, didn't he? As you go. I don't see these healings and these things that take place. My goodness, the people use these gifts, these tongues and prophecy and healings. And man, I ain't seen none of that stuff. That stuff don't happen no more. Bro, well, I can't even call you a brother because you might be my brother-in-law. You ain't come all the way into the kingdom yet. So I call them brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. It's okay. We'll keep you over here. We got another little table y'all sit at. No. But we can't allow them to hinder us from still going and doing the things that we know or the experiences that I have. I can't let you shut me down. I can't just quit and stop going. I've seen and I've experienced too much. And that's what Peter told them. Hey, don't y'all walk around and proclaim and do these things in the name of Jesus. He says, what you judge me, you judge what's right or wrong. You be the judge of that. But let me tell you this. If I'm going to listen to you, well, I'm going to listen to God. How can I not talk about the things I've seen and that I've heard? How can I not raise my hands in Yada and praise the Lord God for the things He's done? All my life He's been faithful. Even when I was out running wild and crazy and didn't even have a clue, that ain't changed. Except one thing. I give Him the praise and the glory for it. For all of it. And guess what happens? I'm getting to where I can put, maybe one day, I can put a 15-year experience on my walk right now. Just like a good business, right, Eric? One day you keep going down, experiencing and going through the hardships and learning the things. And hey, sometimes it comes at your own expense, doesn't it, brother? But one day He's going to be able to put 35 years experience behind His title of His business. Amen. Is it called wait? Will that have validity? There's that word, honey. We like it, don't we? Validity. It's established. When you are converted, you will strengthen the brethren. And those healings, man, I can't. Over in Nepal, our second big trip over there, and we were really just going on a we didn't have anybody who sent us over there. We didn't have a big backing. We just said, hey, this is what we got to do. Let's go. So Kelly and I just said, let's go, and we went. Didn't know what God was going to do, but inexperienced, we didn't have a place to stay. Didn't even line up anything, and we had a couple people that was there, and we want to stay with the people, with the locals. We don't want to stay over here in somebody's mission house. You know what I mean? We wanted to be with the people. So we ended up with the people. And it's funny that they called us over there, that we kind of got rejected by some of the real missionaries. And they said, oh, that's the trouble right there. Them people are. What'd they call us? Pentecostal or Presbyterian? Something. They said, oh, y'all got to stay away from them. They Pentecostal. I don't know what it was. Some kind of P word. I said, they don't even know what they're talking about. But anyway, they called us. The lady they called Dee Dee, which is the younger girl, younger person's Dee Dee. And is that right? No, older. Dee Dee's older. Bonnie is younger. Dee Dee, she was a servant of the missionaries that lived there. She went in and cleaned their houses and took care of them and all those stuff. Her mama was on her deathbed. And they called our house where we was at. Said, could y'all please get to her right now? She's bleeding out the mouth, everywhere. She can't breathe. And man, I had me a little scooter rented. Here we go up the mountain. And I'm telling you over there, it is cray cray. They say the horn don't blow, you don't go. I don't know why they blow the horn. They're just blowing the horn because they're going anyway. There's no red lights, stop lights, anything. It's just woo-woo, mass chaos. I head up that mountain. You better be ready. Time we got up there, she's laying on the mat in the middle of the floor. Hardly even breathing. So here we go. We start praying. It's praying and praying and everybody praying. All of a sudden, some of the experiences that they had in the Bible started coming to me. It was Peter's mother-in-law. Remember that? When they rolled up into Peter's house. I guess it was Peter's house that they went to because his mother-in-law, you know, everybody lived together. She's laying on the mat, the floor, and that hit me. I'm praying, and that's when I pulled away from it, and that's when it hit me. The Holy Spirit said, that's like Peter's mother-in-law laying there. I said, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? So everybody kind of just quit praying, and everything's sitting around just watching what's about to happen. I just fell on top of her. I just fell over the top of her and just started praying life. And just like anything else, when the prophesying, the Holy Ghost starts brewing on you, it's overwhelming to me, man. And all I could do is just about cry. Brother Doug's got the same spirit on him, I believe. I see him and watch him. He reminds me of, I feel it. It just starts coming out. It's leaking. And so I'm praying over, laying there. And that's what I feel. And I say, "How you going to get up? You're going to get up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." And all of a sudden, man, I kind of get off of her a little bit. And she raises up, sits up in there. She looks me in my eyes. And I see the power of God blowing in her. She gets up and she goes outside and just bleeds out. I mean, just blood and stuff coming out of her. And I'm sitting there, what's going on? She comes back in and starts testifying about the goodness of God. I seen y'all coming before y'all even got here. I'm the only one in my community that believes in the Lord like this. And I go up here to the old building to pray on top of the mountain. I'm the only one up there. And she said, and I see demons all around me trying to take me out. But see, God brought some little nobodies around and put them in a place just for that time. Just for an experience, because I know that he's real. I know that he still loves us. I know that the works and the gifts and who he is, it's him. It ain't me. It's not you. It's what he is and what he is in you. He's going to come out of you. He's going to do if we're able to just let it go. Man, she started praying, prophecy, and it's like a portal. There was a portal open up over the top of that place. And it's almost like what he told Nathaniel, that you're going to see angels ascending and descending over the Son of Man. If you look over, we're going to close. What is faith? Well, over in the faith chapter, is if faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in your experience with God, Peter says, we don't see him, but we love him. He didn't say we don't know him. We don't see him, but we love him. So that faith, that encounter, that experience that you have with the Lord God, we want to let that grow. We want to cultivate that experience. We want to move back in and start spending more time with the Lord. We want that to grow, but you're going to have to go. You're going to have to walk. And it's not going to the ends of the earth. My goodness, I'll be with you to the ends of the earth. Don't just take off all the way over there at first thing and not do the first part. See, that's part of the experience and becoming experienced. We want to be the boss man and lead a business, but my goodness, I don't even know how to do anything yet. It's putting the wagon before the mule. We want the reward. We want to get the pay, but we don't want to work for it. We don't want to go through anything. I'm telling you, you're going to go through it. It says, with great tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom. So as we go, it says over here to Peter. Peter says over there in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, he goes on, but he says the gist of it. He said, though these trials are worth more than gold, these experiences, these things that you're going through, they're worth more than gold or silver. They're worth anything of materialistic value of this world. The experiences of God that you hold is the substance of things hoped for. It is the faith. And listen, let me tell you about this before we close, because I believe it's very important. Over down a little lower in that Hebrews 11, 21, it talks about Jacob. It says, Jacob, bless the sons of Joseph, leaning over the top of his staff. What's the significance of that? Let me tell you about their staffs. When they had an experience with God, and he was shown faithful, guess what they did? About like old gunslinger did, put a notch in it. When they had an experience with God, they put a notch in that staff. It was their record. It was their testimony. It was their story. It was their experiences built all the way up. So when he said he stood over the head of his staff and blessed them boys, they seen that he was an experienced man, full of blessings, full of the righteousness and the things of God, full of the experiences of God. He had marks all the way up his staff. That's why he didn't want his bones to be left behind. Because he knew that there was a promised land. And he knew that he was going to put his legacy of his blessings. They were going to make it. So when you have a child that's out there running, when you have a difficulty of things kind of break down, you just pull out that old staff and lean over the top of it and start blessing it, because you are standing on the faith of God, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't throw away our elders. We embrace them. Because I need your encouragement. We all need those cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. Because we are blessed. For each and every one of us truly reaps what we have not sown. But that means we're not sowers. That means we still sow. Word said that they're going to come together. It's going to be so bountiful that the reapers and the sowers are going to be working together. It's going to be just so much. And it says over there, he's in that faith. Let's see also what that faith, pistis, another P word. I'm full of pistis. Faith. The assurance, belief. Them that believe, fidelity, which is the quality or the state of being, your mindset. See, those experiences change the way you think. Webster's, there's another word of perseverance that comes up. Hypomani, steadfastness, consistency, endurance to run the race. Webster says a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition, the action or condition, or an instance of persevering steadfastness. I believe that's a gift of the Holy Spirit too, isn't it? One of the fruits of the Spirit. James, Peter, and Paul almost write the exact same thing. If you look up James 1:1-12, 2 Peter 1:5-11, Romans 5:1-5. It's all these things. They release everything that they have to get that knowledge. What's knowledge? To know the one true God. That's the only thing you need to know. He'll do the rest of it. Then you got to persevere, though, that steadfastness. And then let that fruit and let the kingdom start manifesting inside of you. All right, let's close. I'm going to start praying. And there might be something in here that you, if you want to take a hold of it, because I feel like prophesying. So, Father, we praise you and we love you and we thank you for that love, the life you've given us, the gift of your Holy Spirit, the promise of who you are, Lord God, instilled in the temples that you've created with your hands. Lord, I speak life over these people right now, your children, your temples. I ask, Lord God, that they can understand more in you, that they will persevere through the things and the trials, because your faith is what gives it, Lord. You gave that faith to each and every one of us. These gifts that you give, Lord God, you give severally as you please to each and every one of us. But as your disciples said, increase our faith. My goodness, Lord, to increase our faith, I've learned that we must go. We must believe in what you've told us and let us step out on those things. Allow your spirit and allow your truth. Allow those experiences to start manifesting upon your children, Lord God. Allow them to walk in a boldness that they've never walked in before because of the experiences they've already experienced, and they are an experienced group of people here today, Lord God. And together, my goodness, at the wisdom and the wealth that we all obtain together, Lord, as one unity, we come in unity, you and I tie. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them. And I pray that their staffs, Lord, will be marked all up. And then when they lean over the head of that staff, they will speak and prophesy and bless the legacy that you have blessed them with. Lord, no matter what it is, some of the things that we've gone through, we think that we can't endure and we want to quit. But Lord, may we not ever leave. May we not walk off the farm. May we stay and be steadfast in the things you've entrusted us with. I speak these things by the name of Jesus. Let it be unto your children as you have said, Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Anybody tell you they love you today? They just did. Maybe you hear it more and more. Maybe you even feel it as you keep going on your way. Anybody want another prayer or anything else? We still got some more time because it's all on him anyway. We bless you and we thank you all in Jesus' name. Have a good week and Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. It's been a great one. It's every day, not just once a year.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.